This is Beyond the Resume, the podcast that brings you the stories, advice, and insights behind some of the most successful people in real estate and human resources. Beyond the Resume is brought to you by Jackson Lucas Executive Search, the industry leader in human capital solutions. Thank you for joining us.
All right, folks, welcome to this episode of the Jackson Lucas Beyond the Resume podcast. Today, I will be talking to Alexis Verdone, a talent acquisition specialist in the residential health space, whose career has taken some very interesting twists and turns. I was recently introduced to Alexis and felt an immediate connection to her. She's a really easy person to relate to, and I have a particular affinity for her, which I think you will understand when we dive into her background and life choices. She's a true inspiration to those that find themselves juggling life and career, and she somehow makes it all seem doable. So without further ado, I am excited to introduce Alexis. And by the way, if you like our podcast, please share, comment, and suggest to your friends. So Alexis, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'm really excited, and our audience will be excited when they hear about all the interesting things that you've done and accomplished.
Yes.
So let's start out with you walking us through your background. Sure. And how you ended up having a career in HR, specifically in talent acquisition.
Yeah.
But tell us just sort of like your background and your history.
Sure. Yeah. So I've spent most of my career in senior living, actually. Uh-huh. So, which is a unique industry, to say the least. I was just telling someone the other day, I'm like, you know, I didn't have friends. My friend group, no one really understood like senior living. Like what
does that mean?
Right. Right. And to make a kind of a longer story short, I really got into it because my mom was in senior living. So I kind of grew up in it.
Meaning she worked in it or she was in a senior? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm here. I live in Maryland. So my mom was a sales director at a number of places here in Maryland. And so, you know, I would go volunteer after school, kind of forced, you know, and things like that. And, So I kind of fell into it that way. But I really did. I found that I had a knack for it. And I was good at it. And I really loved being with the residents, and it was purpose driven work. So I started answering phones when I was 18. I was the concierge. And it just so happened that the sales director at the community that I was working with was like, hey, wait a second, you have a knack for sales. Like, start doing tours and like seeing how you like it. And so that progressed, and I graduated from college, got my first job right out of school as I was a director of one of the departments, which looking back, you have to be young to be that dumb to think
fancy title.
So, and the great thing about senior living is you get to try a lot of things. So I was a director of one of the departments. I was a business office director. I was a sales director at a couple communities, moving coordinator. So I got into senior living and kind of worked my way through senior living. I took a pause to say,
we'll get back to.
I'm going to get back to that. Yeah. But I did take a pause, if you will. I already had a daughter, and I then had a son and decided at that point to stay home, and then went back to career in senior living. And that when I went back, I had gotten into the HR portion of senior living. So that means looking at a community and basically doing the financial aspect of it. And then you're also doing the HR aspect of it. And I kind of caught another bug, which is the HR bug. I realized I was really good at it, and I really liked the people aspect of it. I didn't necessarily like the financial side of that role, but I really, really liked the people part of it. So, I really was like, I really loved the hiring, the onboarding, the all of that that comes along with working HR, and then I had a very good friend say, "Hey, have you about recruiting?" And I was like, no. And they're like, yeah, well, it's kind of a mix of like a salesy type
yeah
and that people part. And I was like, well, that's awesome.
Yeah. And you also knew like the subject matter, you knew the type of talent that they would need. And because you had been in the pipes of the senior living, so you sort of knew like what would work in that space.
I've seen it all. And I've seen it work really, really well. And I've seen it not work well. So yes. And it's a unique industry, right? We're not just, you know, it's not widgets in a factory that we're making. We're taking care of people's loved ones. And yeah, so it's unique. You have to, it's really a calling. It's like kind of like teaching almost.
Yeah, right.
Children. And then I got into the recruitment side of it and started doing frontline recruiting. And then a position became available to do home office recruitment for the company that I work for now. And so, yeah, so I'm now the internal recruiter for Brightview Senior Living.
Okay.
We're here out of Baltimore. So, and the way I kind of describe what I do now is I do all of the hiring for their home office. So that means the receptionist that's sitting at that right when you walk in to the VP of IT or the VP of design and construction, how I met the wonderful, you know, all your folks at Jackson Lucas. So yeah, so that's what I do now. I pretty much tell everyone that I know I have the best job in the entire world. I have found my passion. I just love it. I wake up every single morning and I'm not joking. And I'm just like, I pinch myself because I just love what I do.
I mean, it's so rare to hear that. And I think the beautiful thing about recruiting in a lot of ways, to your point, is look, it's work like anything else. It's a business like anything else, but there is a feel good part to it in general. And then probably a really good feel good part of it when you're doing it for something that is meaningful and changes lives and is critical for old people and all of that. So like combining all of that, I think is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it's what we do at the home office, which is really important work. You know, we're not with the actual residents, right?
Right.
Our customers and our communities.
Right.
But what we're doing is we're supporting those folks in those communities. And they're open 24 hours a day. 365
days a lot. It's a lot.
So they're doing really hard work.
Yeah.
So we're the people that support them. So even when I'm talking to an accountant, for example, I have to explain to them that, yes, okay, fine. You work in an office, you're crunching numbers, you know, you're accounting for our the financials for this community, but you're actually supporting people who work in these communities.
Totally.
Even you as an accountant have a role in that. So, you know, help desk folks, even our marketing people, like they're supporting this really hard work that
this really important thing in our society.
Yes.
And I think that's amazing. And, you know, to find a career that is that meaningful and feels that good to you is just such a beautiful thing. I don't think that many people on earth can say that.
Yeah. I feel very, very lucky to say that. And I just, you know, and the company that I work for now, they're just incredible and supportive. And I always tell people, like, I work with 180 of like just the best people. there's just not one person that calls me on Teams that I'm like, not that again. You know, I don't have that. And I think that that's just, it's a unique situation. So
definitely,
I feel really lucky.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, you and I were introduced because you're a client of ours, and we worked on, you know, as you know, obviously, Jackson Lucas is an executive search firm, and we do recruiting on the other side of recruiting. And a lot of our area of focus is real estate, but real estate covers a lot of ground, and senior living is, you know, in that sort of basket of, you know, real estate, as are many, many things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when one of my partners, after doing some work with you and getting to know you, recommended you for this podcast. And when I started to look at your background before we even met, I was very impressed with something that I saw on LinkedIn, which I want to address. And I think, you know, go a little bit deeper in, which was that you had put on your LinkedIn profile parent for a 5-year period. Now, you know, LinkedIn, as most people know, are, you know, sort of highlights all the different work, you know, experiences that people have and the years and the companies they work for and so on and so forth. And when people take time off, which a lot of people do, to raise family, to deal with a sick person, you know, all of those kinds of things, I feel many people try to disguise it a little bit. I think a lot of people are like, did consulting work, or, you know, stepped out of the workforce for personal reasons, or they just leave that blank and let people assume what they want to assume. But yeah, you chose to be loud and proud of the fact that you were going to spend 5 years, or that you spent 5 years being home, being a parent, which is the most important and difficult job on earth. And I just would love to hear from you, like, what was your thinking? Did you have to think long and hard about that? Or was it sort of like, I'm going to do this? And just tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Do you mean putting it on my profile, or just in general, staying?
All of it. You know what? All of it. Like, A, what made you decide to, you know, or maybe you didn't even decide, maybe you had to, for whatever reason, drop out of the workforce, you know, and focus on your children? Or, and then also, what made you say, I'm not disguising this, I'm putting it on there. Like, that is what I did, and I learned things from it, and I'm putting it on there. So I'd love to hear sort of the thought process of all of that.
And I love that you have caught that, and it's been on there for so long. So when I first met you and you brought that up, and I was like,
wait. Right. Forgot about that. Right. Which just speaks to how natural it was for you to do that. It was such a big deal.
It was so funny to me when you caught that, because I'm like, oh, I just don't really think about it. But I guess it is different. And I'm so happy to talk about this because I think it's so important. Yeah. And you know, I think that every story is unique. So mine, it was a decision just, and it's been, Jake is now 10. So I have a 15-year-old daughter and Liv, and my son Jake is 10. Uh-huh. And so this was 10 years ago. But it was, I think it was just a kind of a mixture of everything. I was feeling like I had a pull to do that. I wanted to stay at home.
Yeah.
It was not an easy decision. And I feel very lucky, feel very blessed, grateful that I got to have that time. And financially, we were able to make that work. It was still very difficult to take an income out.
Yeah, right.
You know, I had been working since I was
high school.
Before that. Yeah. I mean, so I've always worked. I've always been that person too. I've always worked. So it kind of is part of my identity as well. Not saying that I'm proud of that, but I'm just saying that that's how it was. And so, and a lot of my friends stayed home and I didn't. I, you know, my daughter, I did a very typical daycare, you know, was off for what would we choose to get to 8 weeks? I don't remember how
minimal.
Yeah. It felt like a day, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, the perfect storm type situation. It was, you know, it was also one of those things, even 10 years ago, daycare was really expensive for a new
parent. I know.
So I don't even know what it costs nowadays. I can't even fully imagine. But so it was also kind of one of those situations where I was kind of working to pay for daycare, if I remember correctly. So I decided to stay home, and it was not an easy decision. And I did have all of those things go through my head, which I think is very typical, which is, you know, this is going to stop my career.
Right. Like, right.
I worked this hard. And now I'm taking this, and I know when I want to go back, it's probably not going to be easy.
Right. Right.
So I stayed home.
And did you enjoy? I mean, I get that you felt blessed and that it was a privilege to be able to do it and have a choice. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I'm not one, and this is probably just in my personality, I'm one to make the best out of situations.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to really do it. So if I'm going to stay at home, I'm going to be the best stay at home mom ever. So looking back at it now, I didn't realize what I was doing, I don't think, at the time. And now that I've had some time to reflect up to this conversation. So I did enjoy it. And I kind of threw myself into, which looking back at it now is so funny, because I am just a worker. Like, that's naturally how I am. And I became room mom I know that sounds silly, but I loved it. I loved the creative aspect of it. Like, just being involved at school was just so fun. I really did enjoy it. It was hard, and it was quite a it was quite different. And you know, it's the same sort of things I think people deal with all the time. You're not talking to adults as much. You get into a day-to-day grind of all of the parenting responsibilities when you have a partner that's working full-time outside the home.
Right.
It does all land with you. So I think it definitely took me a minute. For me personally, looking back at it, another reason I'm really grateful for it, and I, you know, shared with you, when my son was 2, he was diagnosed with autism. And I found myself not only, you know, being a mom to a typical child, now I am a special needs mom, which I never thought in a million years I would have that title as well. So I became an expert in all things autism. So I started off Googling until 5 o'clock in the morning, not sleeping. And that just turned into becoming an advocate for him and finding, now mind you, we're down to 1 income. So now it's finding ways to get him into programs and to speech therapy. And here in Maryland, we have something called Child Find and Infants and Toddlers. And, you know, I was taking classes on how to, I found a free course at a local church here that they were doing about how to get your toddler on the spectrum to talk. So, you know, I just threw myself into all of these things on top of, you know, the day-to-day parenting.
Right. Look, I mean, I think it's remarkable. It's very hard, I think, you know, to stay home to begin with. Some people dream of that and it's wonderful. And other people, myself, I have 3 kids. I never wanted to stay home. I knew I would be a much better parent by not staying home.
Yeah. Yes.
But I suspect, correct me if I'm wrong, that you learned a lot. Like, you know, you missed 5 years of being in your career.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if you picked up skills that you never would have learned in your career, but actually, ultimately, when you went back to work, you were able to use and implement in, you know, in everything you did. So tell, like, when 1,000, you think about that,
yeah.
So tell me, like, what are some of those kinds of things? Because people look at people who take time off that don't really understand it as they took a break for 5 years. It is so not a break, right?
Oh gosh, no.
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you, like the real skills that you feel like you then took with you when you went back to work?
I think you learn very strong soft skills as a parent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, time management, resilience, communication, project managing.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah.
If you've ever had a 15-year-old daughter before.
Yeah.
You will know that you get very good, very, very good at
solution. Right. And I'm sure people at work sometimes act more childlike than your own kids. So that skill has to be helpful.
We both probably have.
Yeah.
That maybe.
Yeah.
Networking, relationship building. Gosh. I mean, all of those skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I developed them more as a parent during that time. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, skills is really what we're looking for when we're looking at cannabis.
Totally. Right.
We need those skills, you know? So even during that time, that's what I kind of learned. Like, that's what I kind of developed. I developed those by, I chose this, and I'm not saying that this is for everyone, but some of the ways that I did this is I mentioned earlier, I was the room mom.
Yeah.
Guess what? All of those skills that I just mentioned, room moms have.
Totally.
Room moms are amazing creatures. They're amazing.
I know.
Room parents, I should say. I'm sorry. Not all moms, but, and I was the PTA vice president.
Amazing.
Again, conflict resolution. Working, fundraising.
Totally. And I think we do ourselves as a recruiter, I think we do ourselves a disservice by not diving into those kinds of things when we're interviewing someone, because I think I would imagine that staying home first of all, when you go to work every day, you have a sense of what your day might be like. Mm-hmm. Things are thrown at you. Okay. Sure. Like, you know, you pivot and you're nimble and all of those things. But when you are raising a child or children and there's other parents and the kids' friends and special needs in your case and all those things, you have no idea. And the kids are developing, so they change, right? And you are constantly rethinking and redoing and you know, and so when you interview people, like when you interview people now, do you, like, I'm not saying you have to focus on, well, are you a parent and what do you, you know, like, what have you learned from that? But does it sort of go through your mind sometimes of like, this person, you know, mentioned their children, and I would imagine that that's, you know, like, I understand the amount of work that's involved in that and the things that they may have learned through that.
Sure. Absolutely. I see it as an advantage when I'm reading, especially like we were talking about in the beginning, you know, you see gaps in resumes and it's given me a different perspective. When I see gaps like that, it prompts me to ask more questions. And I find a lot of candidates, and you probably find this too, where they go and look at your profile before they interview them. So they see, you know, and I think it gives me an edge. I think it makes people feel a little bit more comfortable with me.
Right.
They can say those things without feeling maybe some judgment. So I think it's helped me in that way, be a little bit more well-rounded, and it's given me some empathy.
Yeah. I totally agree with the empathy thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, the other thing that it says, right? I mean, no one should be asking questions of like, so are you a parent? Like, when you go home from work, are you going to be busy with your children? Like, you can't ever ask those things on an interview. We all know that. But because you were blatant about the fact that you did that, you're telling people that you are a parent, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say, like, you know, I think the juggling that you had to do and the way you had to, like, you know, use your brain to, you know, make things happen in a totally different way and pivot to that type of life for a period of time, I think, you know, speaks volumes. And so when sometimes people look at folks that go, that they know they're, you know, going to be busy with their kids when they get home, and they think, how's this going to work? Like, are they, if I need them in the evening, are they going to be available? And I think you could probably say, actually, no one knows how to multitask more than I do. No one knows how to feed a kid dinner and take a call at the same time, right? Like, those are just skills that people can't relate to.
Exactly.
And should not have negative connotation, right?
1,000%. And I'm a firm believer in that. Like, I see it as a superpower. I don't see it as a negative.
Love that. Yeah.
Because I know what it takes to do that. And now I'm a single parent now. So on top of all of that, so that's a new season of life where I'm trying to figure out and juggle. So especially if I know you're a single parent and you told me that, like, there's now a whole other layer of, I really think that you're probably going to work harder than anyone else.
Right.
So I love this. And this is great. These are like the conversations that I think are so exciting and just so good for us to like talk about. Nothing to be ashamed about. You know?
Right. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I think sorry, go ahead.
No, and I just, you know, I also want to mention, like, you know, people who decide to stay at home and then continue to stay at home. I admire that too. I think that's great. And I
agree.
I think you could be creative and you can still, again, there are other outlets that you can keep up and keep developing all of these skills, you know, and I respect people who, like myself, who decided to go back to work and go back into a full-time career.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I remember thinking when my kids were growing up and they were in public school in Manhattan and there was a whole group of women in my neighborhood whose kids went to the school and they didn't work in the conventional way. They didn't earn a living.
Sure.
But I was so thankful for those people because I wasn't going to do what they do. It didn't interest me and I didn't think I'd be good at it. But I was like, we need these people. I had no resentment for the fact that I had to go to work and they were home. I was like, we need these people so badly to get this stuff done. It's real, right? Like, this is like, you know, and I was so thankful for these people. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I had this one mom and because I was the room mom every year.
Yeah.
And her son was in my daughter's class. She was, God bless her. She, at the beginning of the school year, she just sent me $100. Here's $100. You let me know.
Yeah.
You get whatever you need. Right. I don't want to sign. I don't want to bring. And I'm like, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, that's one less fundraiser I got to figure out, or one less one less sign up genius that maybe I have to do.
Right.
But I love that. And it's sort of going off of what you're saying. Like, we need folks like that.
We need folks like that. And they're invaluable. Yep.
Yeah. And it really is a village. we need a mix of
100%. When you decided to go back to work, how was it? How was the transition and how was it received that you were out for 5 years and now you were going back?
Okay. So I also learned at a very young age, senior living in particular, my mom used to always tell me, you know, and this is a good life lesson for any industry, obviously, but you never burn a bridge, but especially in senior living, everyone comes back around for some reason. So who you might be working for, you might be their boss in 5 years, or it's very funny. It's a very funny industry. And so I always just kept up all my contacts. You know, I always checked in with people. I always still remain friendly with people I met at the chamber, people, you know, in industry, my old bosses, and, you know, anyone who, you know, one of my coworkers eventually became a regional person for a senior living company that I used to work for. And I always just kept in contact with her, and I just, you know, once in a while would touch base. And so how do you find jobs? You go and you got to network. And so I just called her and said, hey, I'm back on the market.
Ready to come back.
Back in.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what? You cannot underestimate the concept of a network. And I see this a lot. I've been in, you know, in the working world in an HR capacity of some kind for a lot of years. And I've always been a networker more just because I like to, you know, get to know people and you know, it's just sort of in my DNA. But I have seen people who have had long-term careers at certain places and networking was not a thing for them because they were successful and they were moving up the ladder and they were doing just fine. So their head wasn't in like, I should network. Because you never know, right? And then suddenly, the company was acquired or the company went under or whatever. And they're like, I literally don't have a network. So I'm really glad you brought up that point because I think it's such a and, you know, there's these network like organizations, you know, it's not the same. They don't know you. It's not a bad thing, but they don't know you. They don't know what you're capable of.
Yep.
And so, so you make yourself known the same way you can make yourself known to anyone, but creating your own network of people that are in your profession that you take a liking to or you have respect for, whatever it is, and keeping those connections going is huge.
It's so important. And especially like myself, who I really didn't have a plan either. I decided to stay at home. It wasn't like, oh, I'll stay at home for the next 2 years or I'll stay at home till whatever, name the time. I didn't have really a plan. I kind of knew maybe I would go back to work, but I wasn't really sure how it was all going to pan out. So, you know, when I felt, and so I would suggest that to parents who decide to, you know, to stay at home, is to don't forget about those people, those connections. Right. Keep those up because you just never know. Also, where life is going to take you.
Right.
You might need to find a job because financial reasons or whatever it could be. So I think that's really important. The networking is so important.
I agree.
If you're going to stay at home. I mean, and it's as simple as like a text or an email or, you know, chatting someone up on LinkedIn, you know, it's just important.
It is really important. And when you recruit, right, in your role and you need references from someone, right? So, like, just things like that. Like, you know, most people, well, a lot of people are interviewing because they're leaving, you know, because they're interested in leaving one job, or, you know, they're interested in that particular job. You can't check their references at their current job, right? You need them to be able to give you references, other professional references, and that you can actually contact without getting them in trouble for, you know, looking for a job.
Well,
that, you know, in and of itself is a reason to hold on to your reference, you know, hold on to your network.
Yes. You know, have
people that can speak on your behalf and all of that.
Great point. I love that. And you are right. And it was actually, as you were saying it, I remembered something, which is really funny.
Yeah.
So when I had to give references, one of my references was the PTA president.
I mean, brilliant.
So she worked with me for years.
Yeah. Right.
We did all kinds of things together. She knows me in a professional manner.
Right.
Right. Right. It wasn't a paid position, but it was still a position.
Yeah.
So it was a volunteer position. And I remember when they were checking the references, they thought that was hysterical. I'm like, well, she's just worked with me. Like,
well, by the way, right. And that was a person who saw you working for zero money, yet you were totally committed to whatever needed to be done. And I think that, again, it speaks volumes. People are motivated by money, but if you're motivated just because you're motivated, that says something very different about you as a person, right? So, you know, that's amazing. But,
so it's just so funny that you just brought that up.
Yeah.
And great tip. And I think that's a great little tidbit to take away too, is if, you know, again, you don't know how long you're going to stay, or maybe you do, but it's always good just to keep, just for references sake alone. It's good because you're going to need those, and it's going to be like, oh gosh, who do I put down? I haven't talked to that person in 10 years. Like, are they going to remember, you know, how I am?
And
So that's great. So yes, I president.
I love that. I think that's awesome. One more question I have for you before we wrap up, and this is great and really inspiring. And I think, you know, diversity is in the hot seat right now, and there's a lot of criticism and a lot of things around it, and everyone can have their own opinions, and that's fine. But I think, you know, the diversity of a workforce, whether it is having someone who, you know, did something different for a period of time or comes from a different country, you know, those are diversities that people bring to the table that bring new ideas and different ways of thinking and all of that. I think it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty powerful thing. And I think it's so commendable that you did that. What are you finding? Let's put it this way. Anything that you're finding sort of in the recruiting space that's kind of, you know, a big challenge or new or different, or, you know, just any sort of tips for the world around recruiting that, like, just come from your own
pearls. Any tips, you know, in this, like, post-pandemic? So I work in healthcare. So post-pandemic resumes are, again, I think we're going back to our original statement, which is these gaps in, I think for one thing that I take very serious when I'm talking to hiring managers in particular, really coaching them through, because they also see those gaps when they're looking at resumes. Like, why in 2020 why did they take that? I'm like, well, think about that.
What
was happening then?
Right.
Everyone goes, right. Oh, right. Of course. Yes. Yeah. They're like a bridge job to get them to the next thing. And I'm like, there you go.
Totally. And I think I see it all the time. There are there are gaps now in resumes and weird job choices and whatever. And historically you would look at that and say, you know, are they loyal? Are they committed? Are they, you know, what is that all about? But now I think you have to be much more open-minded and at least give people the opportunity to tell their story, because, you know, during COVID, there were so many reasons why people changed jobs. And if they took a job after COVID and it was short term, it could just be that they were desperate to get a job right after COVID because things were weird, if nothing else. And it wasn't the best choice, but they needed the money. And you can't judge someone. You know, you can't hold that against someone. Yeah. I think it's listening to their stories and, you know, what they have to say is so, like, we have to be smart about that right now because
really
exactly that. And I so appreciate you bringing that up because it's definitely a thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of let's just still talk about that because you're not going to be able to. I think another thing is just, you know, just being empathetic, hearing people's stories, you know, they're just much more than just a resume.
Yeah.
They have lives outside of these roles and I think just having that human, you know, that the humanness to it all, I guess, you know, I just think it's so important. It's so, so important. I think that's a big one that I kind of, you know, that we, again, in healthcare deal a lot with. And I'm sure with you too, like living in New York, in the city, there was a mass exodus of people during that time leaving. I can't imagine like what you guys are, you know.
Yeah.
Optically, like even just what you guys have seen or.
Yeah. And there's a lot of companies where people are going back to work, you know, they're requiring people in office 5 days and it just creates a lot of issues. I get it to some degree. I also think, and this is a whole other topic for another day, but I think, you know, there was a time when I had kids, which was a lot of years ago, I started the minute I had my first child, my company said work from home 2 days a week. This is not a new concept.
Wow.
Right? But it's a much more like everyone concept, right? So it used to be like you gave birth and we'll be flexible with you.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, everyone was doing it for a while during COVID and it's slowly either becoming the new normal in some instances or they're getting rid of it. But I think to myself a lot, like, but it's not totally unheard of. We've done this for a long time. 5 days a week in the office for certain people is really tough. Again, a topic for another time because we spent a lot of time on that. But I can't.
That is a whole other topic. Yeah,
totally.
As you're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I interview people a couple times a week that they're looking for a new job based solely on the fact that their company is making them go in person.
Right. Right.
And we always say, like, whenever I'm talking to someone about that, they're like, oh my gosh, remember we did, like, we used to go to the.
Right.
I know. Did we do that before? You know, so.
No. And
yeah,
it's a little bit of a controversial topic, too.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. There's a lot of debate around it. And, you know, it is, I think, you know, since COVID, there's so many issues of trying to figure out what the new normal is and what's acceptable and what's not and, you know, how things have changed. And, you know, there's connectivity that, you know, that we were forced to create, you know, the ability to connect remotely. And now it's easier. There's just so many things around it. But listen, I love talking to you. Your story, the story resonated with me or you resonated with me because I think that, you know, people should feel confident, comfortable being loud and proud about the course of life that they've taken.
Absolutely.
But that's the person. And then on the receiving end, from a recruiting standpoint, and a hiring standpoint, companies need to also have that same attitude. Otherwise, people will continue to be forced to hide what they've been doing or, you know, make it look better or, you know, whatever. And I think it's a real
testament. We don't need to do that. Yeah, we don't need to do that anymore.
Right. Should not need to do that. So
appreciate you letting me come and talk about all of this.
No, it's
been a real pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure. And I think, you know, I thank you so much for sort of enlightening the listeners to these topics, which, you know, for some people are irrelevant because they've never had to deal with it. And for other people, it's the thing that, you know, weighs them down. And it's just something that needs to be discussed and in the open. And I appreciate you bringing it to the forefront with us.
Aww.
And I love that, you know, we do work with you and your company. And I look forward to continuing the relationship. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much for participating today.
This has been awesome. I just thank you for giving me the opportunity. And thanks to Chris for introducing us. It's been a real pleasure. So.
Thanks, Alexis. Take care. Be good.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Resume. a Jackson Lucas podcast, where we take a deep dive into the career journeys of some of the top minds in real estate and equip you with the knowledge to move forward in your path towards the success you've envisioned. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Beyond the Resume. Be grateful for your support. All episodes of Beyond the Resume are brought to you by Jackson Lucas, building inclusive and diverse businesses through talent acquisition. Visit us at jacksonlucas.com.